Do we intentionally paint SEO as complex or tricky? Listen in as we help you be better than you were yesterday. Also, what are the top 20 SEOs to follow that you may not be following today on The Edge? Go!
Your weekly digital marketing trends with industry trend-setting guests. Powered by your digital marketing pioneers, Site Strategics. This week's featured guest is Andrew Optimizzi, founder of Optimizzi. Now, here's your host, Aaron Sparks.
Welcome back to The Edge and part two of our interview with Andrew Optimizzi. Be sure to listen to the first part of our interview where we talked about the free-to-attend events at Cambridge with some of the fantastic SEOs teaching there and the changes that came about with pandemic. We also talked about the future of the hybrid small meetup and virtual meetings. This is Edge of the Web. I'm your host, Aaron Sparks. Every week, we bring you the amazing guests to chat with about trending digital marketing topics. We unpack a key marketing topic for our digital marketing audience. So whether you're part of an agency, a freelancer, or part of a firm, this show is for you. So check out all of the recent shows over at edgeofthewebradio.com. Edge of the Web is brought to you by Site Strategics, the title sponsor of our show. Site Strategics are pioneers in the agile digital marketing methodology. Our core specialties are technical SEO, SEM, social media, conversion rate optimization, and omnichannel media marketing. Agile marketing, results-based marketing that actually works. If you're interested in what we can do for you, just give us a call at 877-SEO-4WEB or 877-736-4932. Hey, just wanted to let you know who will be coming up on the show in the next few episodes. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Roger Monty of Search Engine Journal, as well as Mark Trapagan. Be sure to check out the recent shows we've had with Carolyn Leiden, Pedro Diaz, and Kevin Indig. If you're interested in being part of the show, just drop us a line at info@sitestrategics.com. Set your reminders on YouTube to get notified when we post those videos. All right. Make sure you check out the weekly news podcast that we have each and every week covering the most recent digital marketing news and Google updates. We're dropping it every Tuesday to help you navigate the week in digital marketing. We're continuing with our guest on the news. That is Morty Oberstein, the indomitable co-host that we've got. And you never know actually what he's going to say. So tune in just to see how awkward he makes me feel. With that, let's meet this week's featured guest. Be sure to listen to the first part of our interview where we talked about the free-to-attend events at Cambridge with some of the fantastic SEOs that were teaching there and what has changed, obviously, with the pandemic. We talked to Andrew, and let's dig into our second part of our interview. We want to introduce Andrew Optimizzi to our audience, also known as Andrew Cockstarkey. He's an SEO consultant who runs his own business called Optimizzi. He also ran a series, like I said, of SEO events at Cambridge, where he got to meet some phenomenal speakers to come and speak with at Cambridge and share their SEO knowledge. We dug into the future of small meetups in Cambridge, as well as just around the world, what we're trying to do to see how we can get back to a level of normalcy, as well as what the hybrid model is going forward in our virtual and real world conferences. Check out more and more about him over at optimizzi.com. Welcome back to the show, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Aaron. Thanks for having me again.
You're more than welcome.
I feel I should clarify as well for the American audience that Optimizzi is Optimizzi with an S. I feel like, you know, the Americans, you guys throw Zs around everywhere, right?
We really do. Really.
Like us British people, we like a good old-fashioned S. So it's Optimizzi.
And yes, it is. And I would like to point out that Zs are Zs. So also for the American audience.
See, I even said it wrong.
I knew that no one else had
any idea. Can you subtitle me on this bit, Jacob? I need like subtitles for the quaint British accent.
Absolutely. So we're going to lead with Zs the entire time. But you know what? What's funny is that Grammarly software that you can have on your computer to be able to check your grammar, which is a fantastic tool. There's an English version of its dictionary that I always have to change back to US because it's always trying to correct my optimization phrase, right? It's always trying to throw a Z in there.
Or so that just shows that it's malicious because like mine is always like defaults to US English. It's like I have to keep sending it back to UK English. It's like I don't want to spell stuff with Zs.
We share a common bond here.
Cambridge is another one that, like, you know, again, like just because of the bonds between the UK and the US, it's not Cambridge and Massachusetts. I've had people like try and come to the events. They're really like, oh, I'm just down in Boston. Like, you know, if I can come over to your event. And I'm like, sure, but it's a long way.
Oh my gosh. Are you serious?
Yeah. Generally have people like, oh, whereabouts in Cambridge? And I'm like, you don't mean the same place I mean.
That's a face palm right there. Yeah, send him over to Cambridge, Massachusetts. We don't want that group with us.
I mean, they can sit there and watch you on YouTube, but it's not the same.
Andrew, I wanted to open up this segment really talking about helping people out with some great SEO tactics. You lean heavily into a mantra of being a bit better tomorrow than you were yesterday. And I truly do appreciate that, because there are so many grandiose goals from SEO and grandiose goals from marketing that you kind of lose track of how you get there, right? And that actually, that kind of plays out with marketing audiences all across the world. They try to be able to create so much so quickly that they lose track of measurable results. They're trying to go after that large scale brass ring, and so many don't have the budget or the strategy that actually will get them there. Right. There's so many companies, especially what we witnessed in the pandemic, digital marketing firms have had an incredible year of helping with new businesses trying to find how they can survive relying on digital marketing primarily. And we all know that SEO is a long investment as opposed to a short investment, but there are a number of things that can be applied to a business's website that can immediately bring them some better value and at least bootstrap them a little bit better than they were yesterday. So I wanted to see if you'd be, well, before anything else, I actually wanted to get you commenting on one particular topic. And you shared this with us in our pre-show questionnaire. When it comes down to SEO, why do you think people have a vested interest in painting SEO as complicated and tricky?
Because it makes them money. It's the short answer to that.
Done. All right. Drop the mic.
Show over. So can I go?
It's a pretty important thing, because you know what? Our industry has had that blemish or that black spot on us for over decades now. SEO has been seen in the past as snake oil salesmen, just bait and switch type of things. You yourself were talking about trying to kind of protect companies from charlatans that were trying to sell $50 a month SEO packages, right? That's why you did some of the events, just to be able to help educate and demystify things. So yeah, I get that, you want to hide your cards and be able to make it a little bit more complex, but there is that stigma of SEO hanging around that I'd love for you to just give us maybe a light on how we can debunk that, you know?
So I love Google. Mm-hmm. Google basically, without Google, I don't have a job. So, but I think in some ways they're almost a bit complicit in this. Like the number of times you hear from Google, just create good content. That's all you need. Like, just create good. We got this. Don't worry. Like, we've got algorithms and all these really complex AI bits of huge kit and machines so big they need entire football stadium size servers to work them.
Right.
We've got this. Just create good content. It's fine. And you have these small businesses and they go, oh, okay. And they just create good content and they tank. And they're like, did I create the wrong content or did I do this wrong? Like what happened? And then they get this email from, somebody that says, oh, I can get you to the top of Google for $50. Mm-hmm. And they go, there must be something else, right? Because I did what Google said. And so maybe this is the thing I need to do. And they fall into the trap. And then folks like us come along afterwards. And, then it's like, okay, well, you've done all these terrible things and you've done this wrong and this wrong and this wrong and this wrong. And you bought all these links and you did all these terrible things you shouldn't have done.
Right.
And I can unpick that for you. But even before I start, it's going to cost you this much just for me to unpick the damage the last guy did. And, that's that then all, then how do you, as a business owner, you're thinking, well, you're telling me the last person tricked me. It's like when you go to get your haircut, right?
Yep.
If you go to a new hairdresser, the first thing the old hairdresser says is, go, oh, I cut your hair last time. Oh, they've made such a mess of it because I'm so good and the last person was so bad. So you should definitely trust me. And then you fall down this trap multiple times. And then SEO is terrible and it's full of snake oil sellers.
Absolutely.
And so therefore you're all charlatans and you're all tricking me. And how are they supposed to know the good from the bad? And so that was, like you said, that's why I kind of started the events, because it's like, if I can just put more good out there, mm-hmm. more good information from good people that don't have a vested interest, they're not selling anything, they're just trying to come and share good information, then that helps people understand, okay, what does good look like? So now I can start to tell a little bit more about what good and bad looks like. Okay, this person's a scammer, this person's not. This person I'm not so sure about. That's kind of help. That's where I was going.
Absolutely. Businesses are a good deal more digital savvy, but I can't tell you the last time I came across a prospect that hasn't hired a digital marketing firm and they've got a bad experience from it. I'm not saying that, what I'm saying is that businesses now have all, for the most part, have all tried out digital marketing. And you're right, is that they've tried and made a number of mistakes because they didn't hire the right people. So there is this continual reset that you need to have with your clients as they come to you. Nope, that wasn't correct, but this is why it wasn't correct. So we as SEOs have an obligation to help educate our clients with correct information and break it down so it's easy to understand. You're also absolutely right. There's still a very high wall to actually understand how we can actually optimize towards Google. Google's sharing a heck of a lot nowadays, right? But there's a gray area of what we can do. Right now, we're dialing into Core Web Vitals. It's going to be a ranking signal in May, and May of 2021. And it's probably the most difficult thing for a business owner that doesn't have any level of technical chops to understand. Why is speed so important, and how do I improve the speed?
Can I do a quick caveat before we do any of this?
Absolutely.
Like, so one of the things I do at like my events, because it's really difficult, because you get some people who are phenomenal SEOs and like half the talks is wasted on them because they already know this stuff backwards.
Yeah.
And then at the opposite end of the scale are people who are just like, you know, they were really tentative about coming to an SEO talk because they're like, it's all going to be in like Greek to me and I won't understand any of it. And so at the beginning of all the events, I say, look, if you just take one thing from this event, just one, like one thing, I could do that. Just take that one thing, because that will already put you 10% ahead of your competitors, because your competitors aren't at this event and your competitors aren't doing this. And or if they are doing it, you're going to at least catch them up a little bit.
Right.
So I think, you know, I guess I'm just thinking like for your audience, mm-hmm. you've got a big audience and there's going to be some people who we're going to talk about stuff that to you and me feels like 101, like, oh my God, I can't believe you don't do this. Or anyway, you don't do that. Oh, you're a terrible person. But like, you know, if you just take one or two of these things, if, you know, even the stuff that we're about to talk about is right. like, I don't even know where to start with this. Just do one of them.
Yeah.
Just do one. Just start and try and make a little bit better. And that's the kind of stuff that you get a little bit better each day. You improve by even 0.5%, not even 1%. Mm-hmm. You can start to move ahead, because your competitors, if they're not doing it, even moving ahead by 0.5% makes a big difference, right?
Absolutely. And by
the speed. Sorry, your question was about speed. I should talk about speed.
Knock it out. Yeah, go for it.
So the biggest win I see with speed, and for a lot of the sites I work on, particularly again with small businesses, is images.
Absolutely.
Everybody loves images. You know, you're a local baker. You want to have pictures of your cakes looking absolutely phenomenal on your website. Mm-hmm. And so they, you know, people again, like DIY, this kind of stuff, they have their iPhone or whatever at home. You know, we've got these camera phones, which have, you know, mega, mega, mega pixel cameras. And you take these beautiful photos of your cakes and you have it uploaded to your website. It's a kind of 4 or 5 megabyte file. And the pixels in those things, it's like, you know, you could kind of decorate a soccer stadium with those.
Yep.
Then they shrink it down. They put it on their website in a box about this big,
right.
Like, you know, kind of 2 or 3 inches across on the screen. And you don't need the file sizes to be 4 or 5 megabytes for it to look amazing at that size.
Exactly.
That's okay. It's like you can kind of shrink that stuff down. It will still look amazing, because I talk to website and they're like, oh, I want the cakes to look amazing. I sell cakes. If the cakes look lousy, I won't sell cakes.
Right.
And it's there's a compromise you can find between the cakes looking amazing and the file size being, you know, Magna Carta length inside, like almost biblical in the sense that there's huge files that you don't need to have on your site. And then you get to these kind of product pages where they put 5, 10, 15 cakes on the page.
Right.
And the page load is like kind of 40, 50 megabytes. And then your customers are trying to get it on their 3G connection on a lousy, you know, train back home when they're commuting and they're miserable and they want to buy a cake to cheer themselves up. And the page takes 3 or 4 minutes to load just because of the images. So that is the single biggest, quickest win that a lot of like small businesses still miss.
That's
so
right.
Just go and look at your images. Are they showing at the size that you're uploading them at? If you don't need to show them at that big size, shrink them down.
It's one of the most common mistakes. And any person that's managing their WordPress website or their Squarespace website, just take a moment, use some common software to be able to reduce. So many of our cameras, our phones are taking at 300 DPI, reduce it down to 72, reduce it down to the size or the aperture in which you're actually trying to actually get it on screen, because these things are huge. It's very simple, and that is one of the most important things whenever Google's looking at how fast do you load your site for our customer, knowing that you've actually gotten that down to the optimal size, right? And again, it's very easy to do with Photoshop Lite, they've got a number of free programs out there that can do this very, very easily. Just take that one step before you actually publish, and it's going to be immense from a value standpoint. Great. That's one good takeaway. All right. What about, it's a vague concept, but high quality content. Let's just talk about quality content, because that in itself is a lot of different takes on it. But what is not quality content? Let's go there. So businesses can actually scrutinize their own content. Go for it.
So what is not quality content is not optimizing it and thinking about your audience. So there's a big temptation here to say, you know, word count is quality. Mm-hmm. So the more it is, the more likely it is to be quality. So if you write 50 words and I write 5,000 words, mine is more likely to be quality because I've written more. That's the kind of assumption.
Right.
But that's not right, because in SEO world, like, the kind of thing you want to be looking at is meeting your customer's need. So if I wrote 5,000 words for the question, what's the time in Chicago? I've overdone it a bit. If you've written 50 words for what's the time in Chicago, you've probably overdone it a bit. All I want is like kind of two numbers. I need the hours and the minutes. That's it.
Yep.
You know, those kind of things. Like, so matching quality content is finding what your audience needs. And, you know, sure, if you're going to like start writing content about, you know, interest-only mortgages on your house, and you write 200 words for like a big financial product where this is going to be kind of like, you know, this other kind of, we SEOs, we love an acronym. So this kind of YMYL thing that Google always talks about, like your money or your life. Mm-hmm. So if it's a thing that's going to affect your customers, you know, money, their life, their wealth, their health, and you write 200 words about mortgages and kind of throw it away at that, you're not really cutting it.
Nope.
So quality content is a kind of a movable feast, kind of like you said, but it's better than is out there. Google is moving particularly to this kind of phase where, you know, people are kind of churning out these kind of 500, 600, 700 word articles because that's where they think this kind of sweet spot is. And then they're kind of getting upset about, well, why isn't Google indexing my content? Why isn't Google ranking my content? I've written this thing about, you know, the best shoes to buy if you're going to play tennis. And the answer is because it's already got better. It already has better stuff. So if you're like kind of, you know, if you think of Google as this big library, and they've got a book on tennis shoes, and it's the best book in the industry, and it's written by experts, and it's everybody loves it and raves about it, and you write this new kind of like little leaflet about, you know, the shoes that you like, who's going to read your leaflet?
The best
stuff is already out there. So like, you know, you've got to be better. And that's a really trite and easy thing to say, like, oh, you need to be better, like do all this skyscraper content, 10x your content and all this kind of stuff. It's like, you have to have something to offer. Like, you know, what is it that's your USP? If you kind of sell mortgages and you sell shoes and you sell cakes, why should I listen to you? What is it about you and your experience that makes you worth hearing from?
Very good. That presupposes that you know what's out there. You have to, as a business owner, you have to understand how much Google knows already and what's out there in the topography, right, of useful content. You can certainly find what differentiates yourself, and that's exactly where you should be focused, is what do you know that's different? How are you different from everybody else who's publishing content out there? You have to have that take. You just can't assume you're going to throw something out there and it will rank. You're absolutely correct. Quality content is pretty subjective, obviously, and we are also dealing with how Google actually looks at your content as quality. So we do know that the number of links that are coming to these pages of content have a kind of a credit of sorts, for lack of a better description. But we don't want to get into all the link building and all the in the space of actual inbound, because that's a whole other journey, right?
Oh, we don't? Oh, no, come on. No. We've got to last for 3 hours for this show, right?
But kind of last on the journey from what a business person could do, an owner of a shop, that's an easy fix that could actually solve some problems, is broken links on a website. So why is that such an important thing when it comes down to something that could be very useful and an easy execution?
So if people know enough about links, you know, so links is the kind of analogy that people often use, is like votes. So the more links you have linking to your website, talking about, you know, you being the best shoe shop in Cambridge, because that's the silly example I've now talked myself into using. The more people that talk about your shoe shop in Cambridge, then the better you must be, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like votes. But, you know, votes are not all made equal. So a vote from my lousy blog that I write, you know, about things I like in Cambridge and nobody's ever heard of me,
right,
is a vote. A vote from, you know, big international publication like the BBC or, you know, the Guardian newspaper or whatever, that's going to carry a little bit more weight. So people get very hung up on like kind of links and like, oh, you know, how can I get good links? I'm just a little shoe shop in Cambridge. I'm never going to get a big international media organization to write about me. But one of the links that you can always control is the links on your own website. And again, that's another one of the things that I see lots of small businesses kind of miss out on. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of read these things about like, oh, I should be blogging. Everybody says I should be blogging. I should write, you know, a blog post a week or a blog post a day or a blog post an hour or whatever the kind of bunkum thing they've been told they should do. And they knock out all this content and it's, you know, 501 words or whatever the kind of sweet spot of the game they've kind of read in this blog post that told them they should do it. But they don't internally link to any other stuff. So when you kind of write this blog post about like, you know, this is the kind of, I don't know, the local soccer team that I went and I fitted out all their shoes for them for free because I'm just a charitable, nice person. When you're talking about the soccer shoes that you sell, internally link to your page that sells soccer shoes. If you have a broken link that links to your page that sells soccer shoes and people follow that link, A, it's a lousy user experience. Absolutely. And B, you're not sending clear signals to Google. Google needs this kind of, so they kind of look at your website and it's kind of, it's almost like an index, right? Because you get this book out of the library. We're going back to a terrible, I love an analogy, Aaron, I'm sorry. I'm gonna keep going with. So you got the book from the library, right?
Yep.
You know, there's hundreds and hundreds of pages in this book and it's on my shoe shop website. So all the pages are going to be about shoes somewhere, right? How do I find the page that's about soccer shoes? Because all the pages that mention soccer in a kind of abstract way, all go, if you're really looking for the mother load of stuff about soccer shoes, it's on page 52.
Right.
And you go, okay, right, so that's the right place. So that's the way to kind of think about it with your kind of internal content. Mm-hmm. Every time you talk about those things that you sell and that stuff that you do in that place that you do it in, link back to your pages that do that thing.
Absolutely.
So you talk about cakes and it's like, right, great, let's go to the cakes page. Then Google gets a really clear signal of like, right, of course the whole website's about cakes, but this is the page on the website that's about selling cakes.
Interesting enough, we had a discussion here internally today and we were talking about that, how we actually communicate that to our clients and came up with the analogy of a table of contents type of reference. It's not the navigation, and bear in mind, it's not enough to actually have menu-driven links. That's a user experience, but that's not actually telling the importance of a particular page. It's the inline links of the content and being able to reference your top pillar pages, your top most important subject matter. That should be a table of contents reference guide, right? Within the content of your site. There's a whole nother discussion of semantic SEO and relationships and all the abstract concepts. But when it gets down to it, refer to the most important pages as well as their subtopics, right? In a way, have a master plan of how you internally link away from your menu system and make sure that it's not broken. Make sure that if you move a page, all those links come along for the ride. That's the broken experience that we're talking about right here. So one, invest in understanding your own content and creating relevancy between different pages, but also know that if you're shifting things around, you have to have an inventory of when things shift, make sure that everything shifts with you, yeah?
It's almost like that kind of mystery shopper thing, you know, when you get people that go and test out how a store works and like, you know, do all the customer service people help you in the right way? And can you find a checkout and can you find a button? Like you need to do that with your, like, again, the number of small businesses that don't use their own website often enough. Yep. So sure, they check the homepage. Is the website up to date? Right, fine, good. And I've got 101 other things to do off I go. But just every now and then, like set aside 20 minutes for yourself over a cup of coffee or tea or whatever it is and try and buy something off your website. Generally try and buy it, like, you know, maybe if you can refund yourself, sure, actually go and buy it, check out the checkout system works.
Absolutely.
But like, again, like with clients I found where they had a new thing they'd added on their homepage, they wanted to promote a particular piece of content and they forgot to link it properly. So they'd copied and pasted a snippet from somewhere else and they put the link in wrong. So they were using anchor text to link to their soccer shoe page or whatever, but that didn't take them to the soccer shoe page because they forgot to change the link. So they copied and pasted everything over. But so then they're sending confusing signals to Google, where Google suddenly got this really important thing on the homepage saying, these are the soccer shoes. And it linked to the, you know, the ballerina shoes or whatever. And it's like, Google's like, whoa, I don't know what's going on here. And everything gets a bit mixed up. So you go back and you fix that one internal link. It wasn't a broken link, but it didn't go to the right place. You fix that one thing, clear signals go through.
Absolutely.
Soccer shoe page ranks, ballerina page ranks for ballerina related things.
There you go.
You don't really want people that are looking for ballerina shoes to be searching for soccer cleats. That's no good.
Actually, we boil all this down to three things. All you have to write about are shoes, cakes, and books.
And that's pretty much like 90% of my clients. I wish it was. That would be great, wouldn't it? cakes and soccer. That would be great.
Well, Andrew, I wanted to finish up with this. I appreciate it. I didn't want to go too many steps. I just wanted to unpack some basic things that we can help businesses that maybe don't even have marketers that can work for them. These are basic things that they can do to be able to improve their standing right now. So I appreciate your participation there. Last thing I want to cover here. You recently just had a article that you posted that I wanted to cover with you because you took some time and actually focused on some of the top people in SEO that we should follow that maybe we're not following that should have more followers, right? So what I wanted to do is, and I wanted to have Jacob throw it up on the screen, is ask you, this is kind of weird because I want to actually, the host is asking his guest actually host a part of this show, kind of guide us through who these individuals are. We knew a number of them, there's some alumni of the show, but let's talk about some of these individuals. Now, we're not going to be able to give everybody their due course here, but let's talk about a few of these that you've mentioned and why they're stellar individuals, if that's all right.
Yeah, I mean, this was, say, one of those kind of weird things for me where I kind of passed this milestone of getting 10,000 followers, which is just an insane amount of people to be following me. You know, I mostly tweet random stuff about my dog and, you know, which particular beer I'm drinking that weekend and stuff. Hopefully there's some useful SEO mixed in there too. But then I look at, you know, some of these people that are doing and making and sharing amazing stuff, and they've got far fewer followers than me, which is all like, you know, well, that's a very nice humble brag, Andrew, well done. But I just think that if you've got some weird kind of quota on your kind of number of followers, stop following me and follow these people instead, because these folks are amazing. So there's some really cool people in there that do some really amazing stuff. And the idea, the kind of threshold was that if they've got already got more than 10,000 followers, then they don't need any more followers. Really, you probably already, like me saying like, oh, you know, hey, Alida Solis knows a bit about SEO. That's not useful. Everybody knows that.
Got it.
John Mu, he's a good person. You should follow him. He kind of works at Google. Again, everybody already knows that. If you don't know who John Mu is, that's fine. But you know, go and find these people yourself. But I wanted to kind of shine a light onto some of the people that maybe were a little bit more under the radar, and I think should get a bit more attention.
Fantastic.
So yeah, I guess where do you start on this?
Well, let's start with number one.
Number one was Areej, who then ruined it. I kind of mentioned before the show that I write very slowly, but when I started writing this, she had just under 10,000, and now she's like kind of skyrocketed to kind of like 12 or 15,000 by the
See
time
what you
I
did?
Actually
got, yeah, exactly.
got around to write. Exactly. It was all down to me, clearly. But, no, unfortunately for me, I can't lay credit to that. It's all Areej's work. So she was way ahead of that. But again, she's probably somebody that hopefully lots of people have heard of. If you haven't, she runs the Women in Tech SEO community. Mm-hmm. She is a super smart technical SEO. She worked for Zoopla, who is like kind of really big price comparison site here in the UK. So mm-hmm. really like kind of cutthroat SEO, like to rank number one for kind of like, you know, price comparisons on anything is super hard. So she was working at this, you know, and getting them to rank and doing some amazing things there. And she's just started a new job actually with a stationery company. So she's super smart and, again, one of the people that makes me feel really glad and lucky to work in SEO, because she has built the Women in Tech SEO community to kind of give these less representative groups opportunities. And it's a really lovely community that kind of helps lift each other up and, you know, is a microcosm of what I wish SEO could be more like. So Areej is awesome.
Well done. Yeah, absolutely. Certainly recommend that. All right. Friend of the show is number two, Christina Azarenko. Tell me about her.
Yeah. Christina is one of those people that, makes me feel really stupid. Like, you know, I flatter myself that I'm kind of quite smart and quite good at a lot of things. And then I see the stuff that like Christina kind of knocks out in a lunch break and I'm really like, okay, well, we're not even playing the same game here. So it's like, you know, she's playing baseball and I'm playing cricket. I don't even know what's going on.
If you see some of her LinkedIn posts, oh man, she's all over. She's doing fantastic. And she did actually roll out a Chrome extension that got her just over 7,000 followers very quickly, right? So,
you know, as you do, just like, you know, just build a Chrome extension.
Why not?
You know,
just do it.
Kicks and giggles. Like, why wouldn't you?
but it actually is a very strong extension. It analyzes schema, analyzes HTML elements. Fantastic tool. Certainly recommend grabbing a hold of that. And she has her own company, Marketing Syrup, that she's doing gangbusters in Canada. And she's teaching basics. She's teaching intermediate SEO. And she's really leaned into the education. That's what I really wanted to tie into. There's so many educating practitioners here. They're wanting to share their information. So Christina certainly makes marks there. Very good.
Yeah, so, I mean, we should plug the extension. extension, right? It's SEO Pro extension if you're looking for that. So yeah, go and stick it in Chrome. And yeah, it's again something that I use almost on a daily basis. It's just, you know, there's all that kind of key information you need about a page in a click on the page.
Yep.
And you know, Christine is one of those people that sees a problem and then fixes it. And then not only fixes it, but and shares the solution with everybody else about how she fixed it, so we can all try and do a bit better. So again, she's super awesome.
Very good. All right, let's talk about Hannah Rampton.
I'm trying to remember the analogy I use for Hannah Rampton. So it's, she does stuff particularly in Google Data Studio. Mm-hmm. So for those that haven't come across Google Data Studio, if you're kind of overwhelmed by Google Analytics, there's just too much information in there, then GDS, Google Data Studio, is a really cool way to kind of, it's like a data visualization tool. Absolutely. So you can plug in your analytics and your Search Console data and, you know, whatever else, whatever data sources you've got, as it's got an API, you can pretty much pull it into Google Data Studio. And again, I kind of flatter myself that I, you know, I built some pretty cool stuff. I built some nice dashboards in Google Data Studio. I got some chops here. And then you see the stuff that Hannah's kind of building, and it's like, again, just like on a whole different plane. And again, she built it and then she shares it. And it's, you know, this kind of stuff where, you know, all you have to do is kind of copy her homework and then you can pass it off as your own. It makes you look even half as smart as Hannah, then you're doing pretty well.
Absolutely. See, I mean, sharing is caring, right? So
just give, or sharing is like, you know, yeah, literally stuff that you can then rip off and try and pass off as your own. But as long as you give Hannah credit.
Give her credit. Absolutely. Skipping through, can't do everybody, obviously, but why don't you give us your, I mean, there's top 20 there. We're certainly going to have the show link there, but give us a handful of others to go through real quick, if you would.
So I tried to get a good mix. So the next one on the list was Claire Carlisle. Mm-hmm. She's a real local SEO expert. Mm-hmm. So I guess some of the other people that I picked out, I think we already talked about Luke Carthy on the previous segment. He's, you know, super sharp, e-commerce. And again, one of those people that doesn't just talk a good game, but he actually kind of does it as well. So he started his own brands. He runs e-commerce stores of his own. So he is kind of walking the walk and talking the talk as well.
Well, that's a rarity.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we all know lots of people that talk a good talk. I mean, I'm probably one of those as well at time to time. But yeah, it's really good to get advice from people that are kind of operating at the sharp end of these kind of things.
Yep.
So there's some really smart people out there. Andy Simpson's another good fun one. So I equate him to my kind of sliding doors moment because he's called Andy and he's British and he lives in the States. And I've kind of, you know, flirted with the idea of moving over there a few times. So he's kind of like, oh, you know, I wonder that's maybe like where I could have been. And yeah, maybe I'm not quite as smart as Andy, but
you're going to have to change your Grammarly setting if you actually come over to the US.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Start spelling things the American way.
Oh, the right.
But Andy, again, like, you know, just shares lots of like great local SEO stuff. And again, is like, you know, right at the sharp end of doing things in local SEO. And, you know, he's one of those people that kind of, a bit like Claire Carlisle, I guess they kind of, when they just got to think out loud. So when they're thinking about things and they're like, oh, I wonder how this works. Like, I'm going to poke this with a stick and see how many bits fall off and then try and fix it again. And they're kind of happy to do that in public and learn with everybody watching and then, you know, share what, you know, when they mess it up, they go,
that's bold.
Try this thing and it didn't work. Yep. Don't anybody else do that. Like, let's try and work out how we can sort of, you know, hack together a way to work things around through that. So
very good.
Again,
very
just
good.
People sharing really cool stuff. So
absolutely.
I'm just trying to think of who else I can mention. Two more.
Yep.
Chris Johnson. So he's at Defaced on Twitter. He's again one of these people that just kind of, you know, seems to have 27 hours in a day when the rest of us have 24. He kind of just, you know, build, again, he like builds sort of Chrome extensions and cool little tools. We've talked about Core Web Vitals.
Yep.
So he's built a Chrome extension which can pull the Core Web Vitals score into the search results.
Oh, wow.
So you can you can Google your competitors and see like, okay, well, because I think in my opinion, Core Web Vitals is going to be one of those things that's kind of relative. So if you're terrible on Core Web Vitals, but slightly better than your competitors, then you're probably going to be okay.
Huh.
If you're terrible and your competitors are amazing, I mean, I'm going to be proved wrong. I'm going to regret this. And like, you know, you're going to pull this out and like replay this as a clip. Like, look at those idiots. So being able to compare yourself to your competitors and like, you know, see, okay, right, how far behind the ball are we? So that's, yeah.
Fantastic.
People like Chris build amazing things. Wow, who else? Miracle. Can I pick out Miracle in Emeti Archibong?
I guess so. All right.
I'm probably mangling her name, so sorry, Miracle. But she works at a company called Erudite here in the UK who just seem to have just this amazing team. It's quite a small agency, but they have almost like a kind of all-star team of just amazing people that work there. And Miracle's one of those. And again, like, you know, she's one of those people that's quite happy to show her work. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you do an exam and it says, like, you know, show your workings. Miracle's one of those kind of people that, again, sort of works through problems and shows her workings as she goes, and then shares it with the SEO community of like, you know, right, here's this problem that I came against and I didn't know how to fix it. And now I've worked out how to fix it and here's how I fixed it. So, you know, everybody else can save themselves a whole bunch of time.
That's, and the list is incredible of people that are constantly sharing. And you picked a number of people that...
I feel really bad for all the people we didn't mention.
I know.
I'm sorry if I missed you.
We'll cover it in the notes and throw the links out there. But I didn't want to put you in the box there. But at the same time, it represents come the best of the SEO community to be able to share continually without need for transaction or without a want for compensation. They're trying to give back. And this is, it ties our entire conversation together, is that that's why we love conferences. That's why we feel so removed from our SMX conferences, our meetups, our standups, because we want to share this information. We want to demystify, debug, and we want to help businesses understand this is the right way to do things. Part of what you can really do from an excelling your career is to be able to share and be able to learn from the interactions and be able to scale up your techniques by just being bold and being open with what you're doing. And that's what we're seeing with this list right here. So I greatly appreciate you putting this together. And I really want to showcase it because it's a rarity that somebody will actually give such a shout out to the rest of the community. So kudos for that, sir.
Thank you. I think so. And you guys do a massive contribution to this as well. I think, you know, the responsibility of having a platform, and I probably massively flatter myself that I have a platform, but it's like, you know, if you get an opportunity to kind of shine a light on others, that's a really cool thing to do.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Is there anything that we can do for you, promote you today?
I would love for you to mention my YouTube channel. So the all the kind of events that I've spoken about and all the stellar people that I've had come and speak at the events, they're all videoed. They're all on the Optimizer YouTube channel. So if anybody wants to, after they finish liking, subscribing to Edge of the Web, of course, also wanted to throw a like and a subscribe my way too, that would be awesome.
I was going to say, no, I'm not going to use it until you change your Grammarly over to the US version. But now that you've plugged in Edge, absolutely go over to Optimizely over YouTube. A fantastic collection of videos from the stand-up events, as well as many more things there. Elias Elias, Luke Carthy, many more speakers there. Anything else, final thoughts for our listening audience today?
I think just to reiterate that, do one thing. SEO can seem super overwhelming, and we kind of touched on like why people deliberately make it seem complicated.
Right.
But just do one thing, like mess with it, break it, work out why you break it, fix it, move forward.
Absolutely. And you don't have to hire a sizable SEO to get these individual things right. Look at your own content, make sure you got it plugged in, it's not broken. Look at your speed, don't load 4 megs of 5 megs of
please don't
further. That's like a public service announcement. Please don't abuse us like that, but it's going to win in your favor. Do one thing and do it right. Make yourself a little bit better each and every day. I love the mantra, Andre, and I certainly appreciate your time today.
Thanks very much.
Absolutely. If you want to follow Andrew, make sure that you track him down at Optimize with an S, not a Z. You probably need to try to squat on the Optimize tag just to take care of that. Facebook, Optimize with an S. LinkedIn, Andrew Cock Starkey. Username on Instagram is Optimize, and YouTube is Optimize. So you got all those taken care of. We certainly appreciate your time today, and we'll be lifting you up from abroad. And you're welcome back at any point in time on the show, man.
Thanks very much. Been a real pleasure.
More than welcome. All right. Don't forget to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you're really feeling up to it today, we'd certainly appreciate a shout out on our iTunes podcast. Give us a review. Let us know how we're doing on our show, because it certainly helps on our algorithm and it gets our show out to more listeners like you. Just don't hold it to yourself. Sharing is caring. Thanks to our sponsor, Site Strategic, our title sponsor for the show. Make sure you see all the must-see videos and much more over at edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. Next show, we're going to be talking to, I don't know who we're going to be talking to next show. I don't have it in front of me. It'll be a mystery. Check out our news podcast on a regular basis, dropping every Tuesday. And from all of us over at Edge, be safe, be well, and do not be a piece of cyber drift. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.